that song for y'all. Well, yeah, the wonderful opportunity that God has given us again to come and be in His sanctuary, to raise your voices, song. And He talks about in the message this morning about not being ashamed and not being offended. So let's trust God this morning to do for us what we need. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Luke, chapter 7. The Bible says in verse 18, and the disciples of John shewed him all of these things. We won't read the text together. We'd have to go back and read a good portion of the New Testament to find out about all these things. In fact, John said if all the things he had been done on earth be written, every one of the books of the earth couldn't contain them. But the things he is talking about is the things that happened in Capernaum that had just happened a few short days ago. Remember, as he was in Capernaum, they approached him and said, the centurion's servant has a very grave illness, sickness. He's going to die without you. And so Jesus just prayed and saw his father right then, and he was healed. He didn't have to go to where the centurion's servant abode. And this morning, we're here. And heaven's a long way off, but He hears and answers prayer. And we can trust Him this morning because just as He said, His servant will be healed, and he was healed that same hour. And some other things that happened along the journey that day as he was entering, he left Capernaum, he was going kind of a loop around, he ended up back in Capernaum a few days after, but as he was going through Nain, the little city of Nain, there, a woman with her company was coming out of the city carrying a bier or a casket. And there lay her son. She was a widow woman. It was her only son. Jesus and his company, which was a great company that was going into the city, met her. And there he spoke the words. And the servant got up, or the young man got up out of the casket and began to speak. Wouldn't you know it? Same thing happened to me when I got saved. I started speaking the good things of God, the good things that, about heaven and about the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wasn't a preacher yet, wasn't a philosopher, still not very much, but God puts within their heart at the new birth a song to sing and some things to speak. We're speaking volumes to the world today. Your smiles, your testimony, your attitude, and then when we speak with our lips. So this young man began to speak. So verse 18 of chapter 7 says, and the disciples, John's disciples, were there too. And they went back, and John was in prison now. And they told John all the things that Jesus was doing. Which we'll read together verse 19 through verse 28. Verse 18 again, and the disciples of John shewed him all of these things, all the things that Jesus had been doing. There John was, the one that had been chosen by God as the forerunner, the one to go and baptize Jesus, and the one to say that I'm not worthy to even undo your sandals. But he that's coming, greater than that. Now, John is in prison. Interesting things happen along the journey of life. God's the one in charge. He's the one directing. He is the one orchestrating all the affairs of man. Let's read the text in verse 19 through verse 28. Luke chapter 7. And John called unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? I don't think any of us will understand that verse, except we know all the scripture is given the inspiration of God, and God directed him to say that. But here he was the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God, baptized Jesus. He knew full well that was Jesus. But then discouraging times come along in prison, hearing about all the great things that you had told about, John had told about all the great things Jesus would do. They're happening, but he's in prison. So he goes and asks a question. Go ask Jesus, is he really the one, or should we look for another? When the men were coming to him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look, wait for another? And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and to many that were blind he gave sight. Good way to answer the question, isn't it? People still asking the question, is Jesus for real? Is he God in person? Oh, he proved he was. He still proved. He saved my soul. He reached down in the gutter and picked me up out of the miry pits of sin and saved me. I shall never doubt that he is Lord. And just to prove the point, he just kept on healing, kept on getting rid of plagues. Remember, we're going through a plague right now. But one word from God, and it could be ended. God's in charge. He is in charge of all affairs. But look what he said in verse 21. In that same hour, the question was asked, are you he? John's wanting to know. He hears all these things you're doing, but he's in prison. Are you really for real? Are you really God incarnate, God in the flesh? And to prove it, and for a lot of other reasons, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answered, said to them, go your way and tell John what things ye have heard, seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Isn't that wonderful? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and that's me. That's the whole world. He gave his life for the sins of the world. And as many as would believe the report, to them he gave everlasting life. Verse 23. And blessed is he whosoever shall be offended shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out to the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send messenger before my face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet, John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I want to look at the text this morning. Offended in Jesus, or we could look at that verse again, and we will. Blessed is he. God pronounces blessing upon you and I, but there are conditions. There are prerequisites. Let's deal with those this morning. Look at verse 23 again. That will be one of our text verses. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. First of all, he talks about the works that he was doing. The question was asked by John through two of his disciples to Jesus, are you he, or shall we look at another? He answered by doing more mighty miracles, but then look at the works that he was doing in chapter 7, verse 18. We just read about it. The infirmities of many were healed. The plagues all around were suddenly healed and dried up. Remember, he said, in that same hour. The question was asked, in that same hour, that same moment of time, he did these many miracles. Evil spirits around on every hand. Seems like they've had a lot of children in the world today, and there's still evil spirits. that are abiding and speaking lies and the things of the devil. And he caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear. He raised the dead. He had just been named and raised that woman's son, that widow's son. And then, lastly, he preached the gospel to who? The poor. Not necessarily meaning the poor monetarily, although there's probably a lot of truth in it. But he preached to those that would become poor in spirit themselves. Because when we become poor in our spirit, we're empty of ourselves, and he is willing and just, and he's going to fill us with himself. So the gospel is preached. This was the works he was doing. Number two. Let's look at the wonder of his method. Go back and look at Genesis. He was the one that had created all the universe, created man his own likeness. And then concerning this birth, God had chosen all through the avenues of time a certain woman, a certain maiden, a certain virgin, and she was going to give birth to Christ Jesus, the Son of God. The wonder of the methods God uses. And then only as a 12-year-old boy, he was teaching in the temple the things of God, showing ahead of time that he was who he said he was. And then he called his 12 disciples. He's still calling people, not disciples necessarily, because they were a special lot that he had called to fulfill the ministry. But you and I are called, and we are of him. And we go about telling and preaching to the poor in spirit. And if they will become poor in their spirit, then God will fill him with salvation and their self. And then he cast out demons. Many demons in that day, many demons today. He was raising people from the dead, the wonder of his birth. And then he was standing before Herod, and he asked a question. He would answer not a word. Jesus speaks to those that will listen. Herod, the king, was asking all kinds of questions. He wouldn't utter a word because he won't speak a word to people today that don't want to listen, don't want to hear. And then, remember, he was raised from the dead, and the first person he appeared to was not Pilate or not Herod, but Mary, the beloved one that had seen and done, had so many things had done for her by Christ Jesus. Who's he going to appear to today? He's going to appear to those that's looking for him. And the precious word of God is telling us about the works he did and the wonder of his message. But I want to get down to the text number three. Whosoever isn't offended in him, he made that statement. And blessed is he, verse 23, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Talk about whosoever shall not be offended in him. Not to be offended means not to put a stumbling block in front of someone else that would cause them to fall. Not be offended in him would be that he's trusting you and I to do a certain job, and whatever the outcome is, we don't know, but we know we're going to obey him and to follow him, and however he chooses to do it, we're not going to be offended in him. It means find an occasion. Some people just look for an occasion almost to cause other people to stumble. Not interested in their fellow man, but just interested in their own good. Whoever shall not be offended in me, that's who he's going to bless. Or sometimes to cause somebody to distrust. A lot of people live their life foolishly, and even after they get saved, they may live their life be ashamed to Christ and be a reproach to him, and then they're so living. People have heard about the great works of God. John in prison wanted to hear about the great works of Jesus and wasn't really the Son of God. Then after people get saved, seemingly some of us would do things living or the way we act or the way we do something to cause others not to trust in him. But he says, blessed are those that are not offended in me. And then to cause people to judge others. That's one of the big mistakes of day and Christians, I'm afraid. We judge others. He said, he's the one that's doing the judging. He's going to judge you. He's going to judge me. In fact, he's judging me right now. And he's judging you right now. But the text remains, whosoever is offended in him. That means not to stagger at his command. He has given us many commands. He said, you're truly my disciple if you will obey me and hear my voice and follow me and accept my plan. There's six different things I want to list this morning about not staggering at his commandments. It's very easy to say we're going to follow Jesus. It's easy to sing songs. It's easy to give our testimony with our voice. But really, he is doing the judging, remember, and we're not offending him if we don't stagger at his commandments. That means we accept his plan for our lives. It means we can abide in the peace of God, even in pandemic, even in a day of sorrow, even in a day where Christians are under attack and we haven't seen anything yet. Absolutely. We can abide in his peace. We can abide in his love. We can accept his plan. To do that, we have to anchor our soul steadfastly in the rock of ages. The flesh wants no part of it. You're saved, hopefully, if you trust in Jesus and come to him and ask forgiveness of your sins and realize you were a sinner and believe and report, then he saves you. But we have to be anchored steadfastly, unmovable in Christ Jesus. That is, if we're not offended in him. And then we have to acknowledge to him the purpose. Why am I here? Why did he save me? He saved me to get me out of hell. That's one thing. But he saved me to bring honor and glory to his name. To accept his will. To abide in his peace. To have my soul anchored in the blessed rock of God. To acknowledge him to all the world, and never, ever be offended in Christ Jesus. But not only that, we have to be available at all times for his plea to us. Sometimes he may wake you and I up in the middle of the night. He does me often. Sometimes he'll tell me, I'm planning to do a certain thing. It's not a sinful thing necessarily, but it's my plan. I'm going my way to do what I think I ought to be doing. But I haven't completely trusted him, the guidance, and since I didn't, and since he didn't give it to me because I didn't ask for it, I'm going a certain direction. And sometimes, to me, it's a major thing. He stops me sometimes dead in my tracks and says, that's not what you're going to do. Instantly, I have to realize that he has a plan for me. I have to accept that. I have to be available at all times. We've looked at what he was doing. John asked that question. We've looked at the manner in which he was doing it and the wonder of his methods. We've looked at the thought, whosoever isn't offended in him. But I want to look lastly and probably spend more time on this than anything else. Who is blessed? Read the text together. And blessed is he. And we know every who he pronounced that blessed on is going to be blessed. He qualifies that by saying the person that's going to be blessed is whosoever shall not be offended in me. Well, to understand this, we have to go back, I believe. We've already explained what little I know about. But let's go back and let the Word of God be true. It's amazing. It's just so amazing. Every time I read, study the Word of God, it's amazing to me how he just opens up the precious Word of God. It's already there, but we have to adhere to it. Who is blessed? Let's go back to the first seven times that he used that same exact phrase. Who is blessed? As we go through these, we're going to see what he means and why he did this. Now, we already know it's quite clear. He that is blessed is he that is not offended in me. And we've looked at how we will not be offended in him. But we're going to get deeper meanings when we go back to Numbers chapter 24 and verse 9 when he first made this statement. He includes several words around it, so let's look together. Numbers 24, 9. And we're going to read the last part of that verse and then we'll explain. Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. He's talking about his chosen nation. He's talking about Jacob and the descendants of Abraham. He did the choosing. And since he did the choice, and since he has made his correct statement that we're going to be blessed if we're blessed in him. Look at the text together. Blessed is he that blesseth thee. Since he chose Israel, and since he chose Abraham and the descendants thereof, and since Jesus had already, God had already determined that Jesus is going to be born of woman, yet the Father is God, sent through the loins of Abraham and Jacob. Then he makes this proclamation. He makes a proclamation that says, why I have chosen, and what you abide with, and what you go along with, my choosing, that will I bless. Look at the text. Blessed is he, the person, or the nation, that blesses Israel, that blesses Jacob. You read the preceding verses, you're going to see that's what he's talking about. And cursed is he that curseth. Now, not only do you say blessed is he, God pronounces a blessing to the person that he has chose to bless that which God has chose, and that would be Israel. The blessing. Happy. Contentment. Can you imagine the blessings of God? Malachi says they're just laid up in heaven. They're not running short. They're fully available to all those people that meets the condition. Blessed is he that aren't offended in me. And these seven things he's talking about, he's going to bless those that bless that which he has chosen, Israel. But he adds to it a curse. And cursed is he that curseth thee, the person or the nation. For anyone that would curse what God has chosen would be cursed by God himself. We don't have time to go into that. It's pretty self-explanatory. But let's look at the second time. It gets more interesting as we go. That would be in Psalms 32, verse 1. He's talking about he will bless those persons that bless what he has chosen. But now he's talking about a covering. Because, see, man is sinful. Wasn't any covering for it. We were born that way. In Adam's flesh, in Adam's likeness, we were born. And mother, Eve being the mother of all living, we were born in sin, shape and iniquity. But blessed is, Psalms 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The covering of sin, the only ingredient that can cover sin is the blood. Can't be man's blood, it must be God's blood through his Son, Jesus Christ. Holy, righteous blood. Without the sprinkling of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And then we have to have the application of the blood. It was shed at Calvary, no doubt about that. He was God's only begotten Son. He came to this world, the methods and the miracles and the marvelous way he's already done, the great things he has done. But now he has done all those things so he may cover your sins and transgressions. Number three, look at Psalms 41 and verse 1. Now that we're saved, and now that we've already surely agree that we're going to bless those things he has chosen. And since we've asked him to cover us with his blood and all our sins are blotted out, then there are considerations that you have to do and I have to do. Because we're still in the body. We still have a fleshly appetite. And that fleshly appetite, spiritually speaking, without greater is he that's within us, is not acceptable before him. But Psalms 41, verse 1, the third time he uses it, number of completion, of course, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Ghost. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Remember what he told John's disciples to go back and tell John? I'm healing the lame, and I'm making the blind to see, and I'm raising the dead, and I'm preaching the gospel to the poor. Number three, look what he says about the considerations we have to do. Blessed is he, that's you, that's me. If I want to be blessed, I must consider the poor. Then he gives another promise. Not only will he bless us, but the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Or are we ever in trouble? There's no deliverance from the troubles we have within mankind. Scientists, doctors, government, any person, you, me, no way of lifting us out of the crisis. They didn't leave us stranded. Blessed is he that considers the poor. Consideration is mighty important in their life. We have to, first of all, consider that we're going to choose what he chose, nation Israel. We're going to allow him to cover us with his blood to erase and eradicate the sin. But now we have to consider the fact that he has chosen us for a reason to promote the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the poor in heart. And he says the Lord will deliver him out of trouble. There's no trouble, no great trouble that could be generated by man or anybody but what God could deliver us. Last Sunday we looked at the fact that God delivered Job from all the things he was going through. And God will deliver us. But number four, look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 12. Last book of Daniel. God used him so greatly, so wonderfully, so powerfully. What did he use him out in a heathen nation to a heathen king? In fact, the second, third heathen king just kept on that. No matter what situation God put you in, he was always blessing what God chose. Always for God's people, Israel. He was willing to confess his sin. Many times he did that. He always had the right consideration. It was never about Daniel. It was about others. Now in Daniel chapter 12, verse 12, there's a lot of things closed up. Look carefully at the things that's closed up. Blessed is he that waiteth. That's you. That's me. And cometh to the 1,335 days. He said, Daniel, close her up. I've got all these things accomplished. The time is set. I've got all generations planned. He saw you. He saw me on that day. He saw us before he ever made the world. Christ Jesus was the Lamb of God, slain in God's eyes before he ever made the world. Why? To cover our sins. So we could consider what he wanted us to consider. But now he says, hey, we're in this period of time when it seems to be closed up. There's no answer. Except one, and we're going to look at that for the next time he uses it. The answer, of course, is in Christ Jesus. Daniel was not able to tell all that God had showed him. He said, close the books. We are in a period of waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. How are we supposed to act? We're supposed to act like him in these days. We're supposed to be about his business, abiding in him, accepting his plan, be available to him at all times. Just simple thing. Something you don't have to write down to remember. Just, I'm available. I'm abiding. I'm accepting. I'm agreeable. Isn't it easy? So easy. I've heard people say it just makes cold chills run. Some things make cold chills run over me. To hear someone say, I wouldn't even think it, much less have the audacity to say it, so hard to live for Jesus. It's hard not to. All of us probably tried that a day or two in our life. But if we really want to abide in him, accept him, be available to him, it's the easiest thing in the world to live for Jesus. I didn't say there wouldn't be difficulties. There wouldn't be hard times. Daniel went through them. And John the Baptist obviously was going through them. He was in prison. They were going to come and take his head off. But he was abiding in the love of God. So now we can accept that. So it's closed for now. We're just awaiting. Look at the next verse. He describes it very wonderfully. This will be the fifth time. Of course, that's a number of grace. And the text we read in Luke chapter 7, corresponding text also in Matthew, which is the first place he used it, Matthew 11, verse 6, same verse. And blessed is he. Jesus said it. It was recorded by Matthew and by Luke. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. He chose that the fifth time in number. Isn't it amazing when you just look how God just laid everything out so wonderfully? The way he orchestrates it, the way he pinned it down, his progression. I'm so amazed. Should be, because God is an amazing thing. But I continue to be amazed at the wonderful grace of God. And we've looked at that. It's Christ's command. And blessed is he. What's a command? Whosoever shall not be offended thee. We've covered that the fifth time. Let's look at the sixth time. Interesting also. Matthew 21 verse 9. Going to look at now Christ exalted by people. Number six, of course, number of man. And wouldn't you know it, man's going to exalt Christ. That's your job, and that's my job. Look at the sixth time he mentions it. Matthew 21, verse 9. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Christ was being exalted by the people. Your job and mine today, we still belong to him, we're still people upon planet earth, is to exalt Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. That's our job. We do it in many ways, but we're also with our mouth, with our lips, with our attitude, with our everything about us should be exalted in the name of Jesus. They were doing it with their voices and more. Then let's look at the seventh time. You could almost ahead of time know what it's going to be about. Number seven. God's perfection number. You could have went back and came pretty close without even reading it, knowing what he's going to talk about the fifth time. You know what he's going to talk about the first time for sure. God has chosen certain things, and you and I better get on board, because he's not going to change his mind. He's chosen you. He chose me. Through his Son Christ Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection. Number seven, we're closing. Matthew 23, verse 39. Talking about Christ coming. Lead the perfection. Remember, Daniel said, we're waiting. Books are closed down, not going to give you any more revelations. He's coming. It's already written. We're just abiding in it. We're appeasing him in it. We're pleasing him by living our life obedient to him. Verse 39 of chapter 23, the book of Matthew. Jesus doing the speaking. For I say unto you. That's personal. Ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, here's her theme, here's her seventh time, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Christ is soon coming, waiting for the shout, voice of the archangels and the trump of God, and those that precede us in death, that are saved, we're going to be caught up. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up forever and ever. Let's read our text verse again. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended. We've had a short list of these. There's several more for seven. Most significant. So he wants to bless us. He's already told how we can be blessed. And the only way we can be blessed is by his commandment. Would you stand this morning? Jason, have a song? The question for us this morning, if you're saved, we need to be abiding in Him. Don't mean you're going to lose your salvation. It just means if He lives within their heart, and He does if you're saved, He's Lord. That means He's everything. Anything and everything else is a distant second. Are you saved? First question. He's soon coming. He told us. Number 7. Blessed is He that we hear the shout, hear the call, come up hither. You're not saved this morning. The altar is open. If you want to be blessed, blessed is He. He told us how. Pray and seek God's face this morning and do business with their Lord as they sing.